In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This week of the 50 holy days after resurrection, the Church would like us to concentrate on our relationship with the resurrected Christ, because this is preparation for eternity. Once we saw the Lord resurrected from the dead, we understand that He lives forever. We will live with Him as His promise is true, and we are to know Him better. And every week we concentrate on one of the attributes of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and today it is about Him being the light. And as He taught us, walk in the light so long as you have the light, because there will be time that there is no light and we live in darkness. The corresponding psalm that the Church selected is very beloved part of the psalm that says that the Lord is my strength, He has become my salvation, and then speaks about the right hand of the Lord. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. We understand the right hand of God to be Jesus. Jesus is the right hand of God. He sat at His right hand and is His power. The right hand is the power. The power, the essence of the Trinity is Jesus. So the right hand of the Lord that does valiantly and keep us alive and give salvation is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the concentration. Then at the start of the reading of the Gospel, it's from chapter 12, according to the Gospel of St. John, the Lord starts by saying that a little while longer the light is with you, then after that the light will disappear. And all of us, majority of us, think that this is meant to be the days that He is living with them until His departure. But St. John Chrysostom has another opinion. He says that it refers to life on earth. Life on earth is the light for us to understand, lest the darkness will happen if we are rejected. Actually, St. John Chrysostom commented on this chapter in a very scary way. That he said that all the chapter is that the Lord became very strict with people, saying that if you reject me, I reject you. That's the bottom line. The same words that he said on the entrance to Jerusalem, when he said that how many times did I like to collect you under my wings? How many times I offered this and you rejected, you didn't like, okay, then let your house be left destruction for you. So this tune of warning from the Lord started from chapter 12 until the cross. That the Lord is very, very clear here that the message is a bit serious. The message comes how, after that He said that He hid Himself, despite that they didn't threaten Him by death, but the Pharisees and the Jews. But it was clear that they were planning to kill Him, so He hid Himself because it was not the time. And then it became very clear, to be clear to everyone, as the Lord explains. And later St. Paul explained as well. If we don't like to keep the Lord in our minds, then the Lord will deliver us to the devil. St. Paul was commenting on peculiar behavior of people, that he said that because they didn't like to keep God in their minds, then the Lord delivered them to their thoughts. Every time the Lord leaves us, the devil starts. It's handing us over to Him. So it looks a bit tough, but that's the reality. It's written, for example, in Hosea, because you have rejected the knowledge, I reject you. It's very important to understand that when the Lord opens the door for you, you don't give Him your back. Because if you reject God, you will be rejected. And this is the whole concentration of this reading. It's quoted also from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, when he said that the Lord blinded their eyes and blocked their hearts, as He did with Pharaoh. Some people complain, is it fair? How can the Lord will punish them after that? He blinded their eyes. He blocked their hearts from understanding, lest they repent. What's this language? The fathers of the church explained it to be a natural response from God for those who reject Him. And it is fair. And this is symbolic also of the fact that people will, some will live their eternity in darkness. Because if I reject God, He rejects me. It is only fair. Any other teaching is not biblical. The other teaching that the Lord will accept all for salvation is not biblical. The Bible made it very clear. If I reject Him, He rejects me. If I don't keep Him in my mind, then my mind will be filled with ideas from the devil. And this is very, very important. I remember one day, we had two young men in Sydney, friends, and in a very similar situation, and both of them were invited to priesthood. One of them, immediately he said, how can I say no? I'm the servant of the Lord. His colleague kept giving hundreds of reasons, why not? He can't. And then, both of them were very close to me. And the one that was rejecting this, told me, can I speak to my friend to see where did he get that power from, to say yes immediately. Of course, when a person becomes a priest, all his life becomes different. He doesn't know what's going to happen to him. Many of them reduce a lot their salary, their standard of living and so on. So he said, how come that he said yes that easy? And then we asked him. I asked him in front of his friend, what made you say that easily? He said, I'll be crazy if the Lord tells me, come and serve me, and I say no. I'll be crazy. He's God. God is telling me something, and I say no. Who am I to say to God no? And this is really the attitude of many people. If God tells you something, you'll be crazy if you say no. The Lord invites you to serve Him in any capacity, in any level, in any... If you get an invitation to your mind to stand up for prayer and to ignore it, if you get a feeling that I should help certain cause, maybe financially or otherwise, and I back off, it would be crazy. Because He's God. Our life is in His hands. And if we reject Him, we will be rejected. And this is very, very important. The other thing is that in this gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of those people who rejected Him and gave the explanation. The explanation is very strange. He said that they can't accept me because they like the glory of men. And this is the main teaching of this signal that the church selected for us. If you are after the glory of people, if all your life is controlled by opinion of people, if you like people to clap for you, if you like to self-promote yourself in their eyes, then you can't accept God. He made it very clear. Elsewhere he said, how come that they can believe if they accept the glory from each other? Every time we start thinking of people and opinion of people, and my position among the people, what people speak about me, then I lose the capability to be free to accept God. 2 or 3 weeks ago, one friend of mine who became a monk in Egypt, still I'm in communication with him, was invited by Pope Tawadros to speak to him. This is the time of selecting bishops. When that monk received a call from the Pope, come and see me, he got too scared. He knew that the Pope is planning to ordain him as a bishop. He telephoned me actually to tell me the story. The story is very, very touching. He went all the way crying to the Lord, exempt me from the glory of being a bishop. I like to live in simplicity. I like to have one-on-one relationship with you, far from the opinion of people and surrounding opinion, elected you as a monk. That's my quote. He entered to speak to Pope Tadros. Pope Tadros asked him, "How old are you, son?" He said, "According to the birth certificate, I'm this age. But according to my health, I'm very old, Sayyidi. I have," and he pointed to him 10 serious diseases that he exaggerated on purpose to show that he is very unhealthy. Then he told him, "Have you served before?" He said, "Never, Sayyidina. I don't know how to serve. I live in the monastery. I cultivate the land. I am a peasant. I can be plant things, but not." Then he told him, the last hope, "What are you reading?" He said, "No, I don't read much. I just work in the monastery." Then Pope Tadros understood, smiled with fatherly love, and he said, "May the Lord bless you in your solitude. Live for the Lord." And he left flying high out of joy about the concept of living in solitude. The concept of being alone with God, one-on-one, is extremely important. To understand that I don't like the glory of people. Once you are driven by begging the glory of people, which is called vain glory, glory of nothing, then we can hardly follow the Lord, we can hardly accept Him, we can hardly open our hearts and our minds to understand God. And this is very, very serious to understand. Sometimes ask yourself, what opinion of people will help me if I develop terminating cancer? What opinion of people will help me? How can the opinion of people thinking of me highly or lowly help me at the minute of my departure from this body to see God? How can opinion of people that clap for me or spit on me affect me on the day of my judgment before the Lord? What's important is opinion of God. Because sometimes opinion of people prevent us from accepting opinion of God. Many people deny the Lord out of fear. Many people are too scared to say that they are believers, or too embarrassed. If someone asks you tomorrow, "Where did you spend the weekend?" Many of us will try to escape from the idea that we are in the church. Why? Because it's embarrassing. Well, let us be embarrassed for the sake of God, because we don't care about opinion of people. Rather, we are interested in opinion of God. Pope Carolus had this speciality in his life. He said it millions of times to everyone. If you like to develop a stronger relationship with God, it has to be in solitude. Solitude is not only for monks, it's for every person. You have to have a time, you and God alone, to think, what's your opinion, Lord? What do you like me to do? What exactly you like me to understand or accept or reject? At the start of Pope Carolus' ministry, he had an attack from a group of people that he escapes from responsibility under the title, "I'm going to pray." And they were very harsh on him, saying to him, "You are a pope, don't escape. You are a pope, you have to face the situation, not to live in the monastery saying, 'I'm praying.' If your purpose or your mission is to pray, why did you accept being a pope?" So they extended that his brother, his elder brother, believed also in their opinion. I sent him a strong paper, a letter, telling him, "They are right. They are right, my brother. Come back from the monastery and face the situation." And then he answered him by a marvelous letter. Abuna Daniel is doing PhD in philosophy of Pope Carolus, and he is the one that told me that. He said in his letter back to him, He was telling him, I know, my brother, I know where the power is. Where can you get the energy from? It is when you communicate directly from you and God in solitude. It's not facing people. It's not trying to convince people. And of course, time proved it, that he won the hearts of everyone and won the honor of being the top person by his one-on-one relationship to Christ. This is very important for us to understand, because this is our power, this is our hope, this is the joy of living on earth, this is the purpose of living on earth, is to understand. I'll finish my talk by 3 points. 3 principles that Maris Hayek did or said, and Pope Corollis emphasized, and all the fathers know its importance. If you forget what I said, okay, but just listen to these three ideas from Maris Hayek. The first idea is that if the earth deals with someone unfairly, then heaven has to interfere. لما الأرض تصدر حرب السماء لازم تتدخل. Many times people get unfairly dealt with by wrong ideas from people, because people don't understand. If that is because of your honorable stand, if that is because you love God and you kept the principles to please God, then God is responsible to interfere. In the history of the Russian Church, there is a saint called Sarafim from a country named Sarov. That's why his name is Sarafim Sarofsky. Sarofsky means the adjective from the city Sarov. He was accused wrongly by many people because strange behavior that he was doing. He was living in solitude, but he was visited by ladies, and then people accused him. Then they invited him to the Senate, the Russian Senate, and they attacked him harshly and accused him harshly, and he kept silent. His friends told him, speak. If you don't speak, they'll judge you. He didn't speak. They accused him by horrible things. He didn't open his mouth. Then the Senate had to condemn him, and they excommunicated him, and he left happily. On purpose, he didn't like that. He didn't like to defend himself. The end effect is that he became very famous by his miracles, and the Senate apologized to him and canonized him after his death to be one of the great saints. The other rule that Maris Hayek said, and Pope Corollis repeated many times, if anyone humiliates himself on purpose to gain the favor of people, the Lord will expose him. من تواضع ليرفعه الناس يفضحه الرب. Anyone that pretended to be modest to win opinion of people that this person is modest, the Lord will expose his mistake. The last principle that the majority of us heard a number of times, whoever escapes from dignity for sake of God, then dignity will chase him. If you escape from the dignity because you like to glorify God, then the dignity will chase you and you'll be dignified, because that's the rule that all the fathers experience and knew. May the Lord open our eyes and our hearts to understand that His glory is the most important. His opinion is the most important. Any one of us can face situations like this. We manipulate things to please people. We do things having in our mind that people's opinion is important. No, what's important is God's opinion. Glory be to His name forever. There's one thing before we start the Mass I'd like to share with you. Today is the Mother's Day, which is a good occasion to express our feeling to our mothers, and above all, St. Mary, the mother of us all. It's a good idea to give presents to some mothers. We'll give every mother a present thanks to a young lady that every year does that, to buy presents to all the mothers. But I thought about having randomly selecting five mothers to have special presents.